Eureka by John Thomas, Volume 1, Chapter 1, Section 3, Part 4, Forever and Ever. In response to the salutation from the deity manifested by Spirit in Jesus Anointed, John, as the representative of Earth's future kings, ascribes to him as their prince the glory and the supremacy during the aeons of the aeons. In the English version, these words in italics are rendered forever and ever, and represent to the Anglo-Saxon mind the idea of unlimited futurity, commonly styled eternity. This acceptation of the phrase leads to the conclusion that the supremacy of Jesus as prince, priest, and king of a priestly dominion on earth is to be eternal, a notion which implies that sin and death are destined to obtain on the planet eternally. But this conclusion is altogether set aside by the teaching of the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23, Paul lays down a certain order of future development, as first, they who are Christ's made alive in his presence, second, the end. Between these two epochs, there is a long interval, the duration of which Paul does not define, but having notified the arrival of the end, he tells us what is to come to pass then. He says that the kingdom that had been existing during said interval is to be delivered up to the Divine Father, and that this delivering up is consequent upon all rule, authority, and power having been put down, for the reign of the Son of Man is decreed of heaven to continue till this result be consummated. He must reign till he the Father have put all enemies under his feet. Psalm 8 verse 6 and 110 verse 1. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The Son, then, is to reign as the Father's kings and priests, until death shall be abolished from the earth. This implies the previous extermination of sin, for death is the wages of sin, and wages are not paid where services are not rendered. We see then that the Son of Man is not to reign as the majesty of a priestly kingdom after sin and death are rooted out. And be it remembered that the kingdom the Apocalypse exhibits is the dominion of the Father's kings and priests. It contains but few hints of what is to be the order of things upon earth after the end indicated by Paul. The Melchizedek kingdom of the deity, subduing and reconciling terrestrial things to him, is the great theme of its visions and descriptions. When the end for which it will be established is accomplished, it will be delivered up, and then the supremacy of the Son, both in respect of the head and the body, in other words, of Jesus and his brethren, will cease. An end will be put to it. During the long interval of 1,000 years, the supremacy of the saints is decreed. For all that time, two classes will exist contemporaneously upon earth: the world rulers, incorruptible and deathless, and the subject world of nations, peccable and mortal. Flesh and blood cannot possess this Melchizedek or priestly kingdom. Jesus and the saints alone can have it, so that while it continues, their supremacy must and will be upheld against all aspirations of the flesh. But when the time arrives for flesh and blood, or corruption, to be abolished from the earth, and for all its future inhabitants to become Elohim, or incorruptible and deathless beings, consubstantial with deity. The Elohim of the previous 1,000 years will no longer be priests offering gifts and sacrifices for them to the deity. The priestly supremacy will terminate with the cessation of the necessity which originated it, and the deity by spirit will be the all things in them all. Thus, when all things shall be subdued unto him, the Son, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, the Father, that put all things under him, that the deity may be the all things in all. Hence, John, who was in accord with Paul, did not ascribe an eternal supremacy to the Son, as taught by Anglo-Saxonism. He was not contemplating the position of Jesus in a post-millennial order of things, but his position in relation to the millennial dominion. In reference to this, he said, "To him the glory and supremacy during the aeons of the aeons." Forever and ever, or even its parallel in Daniel, forever, even forever and ever, are phrases, then, that do not indicate eternity, being used of things which are in their nature or constitution terminable. But we must look to the original and see what can be made of that. In the text of the Apocalypse, the phrases eis tous, aionas ton aionon. This occurs 14 times and is uniformly rendered forever and ever, except in chapter 1 verse 18, where it is rendered evermore. In chapter 14 verse 11, the definite article is omitted. The reading is, therefore, eis aionas aionon. Now, as the Apocalypse treats of the same subject as that revealed to Daniel in his 7th chapter, namely the kingdom and conquests of the saints, we ought to find the Koldi original of this formula, so frequently occurrent in the New Testament. And this we do in the 18th verse of that chapter. In this, the time is specified how long the saints shall possess the kingdom, the same kingdom that Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar should stand, Le'el Me'ah, for Olam's. Chapter 2, verse 44. They shall possess the kingdom, ad Elma wa'ad Alam Al-Me'ah, for an Elma, even for an Elma of Elmas. The Koldi word Elma is identical with the Hebrew olam, and is represented in the Greek by ion, though in etymology different. The Hebrew and Koldi nouns are derived from the verb alam, to hide, to conceal. Hence, an olam, in relation to time, is a period hidden or concealed, hidden in the past, or concealed in the future. In prophecy, it designates absolutely a certain period to exist, but without defining its beginning or ending. The kingdom belonging to the saints of the Most High Ones, Elyonin, is to stand for hidden periods, or olams, comprised in one hidden period, or olam, which must, therefore, be longer than all of them together. Hence this will be a hidden period of hidden periods, or an olam, even an olam of olams. I have a translation of Daniel 7, verse 18 before me, which renders the time the saints are to possess the kingdom by the formula, for eternity, even for eternity of eternity. This, however, is a mere flourish and no translation, and bears on the face of it proof that the inventor of the form knew nothing about the nature of the kingdom, nor the purpose for which it is to be established. As I have shown, the kingdom is not to continue eternally, so that the saints cannot hold it for eternity. And as the scripture is true, they do not use the word here in the sense of ever and eternity. The duration of this Colby formula must be approximated from another direction. Thus, the kingdom the saints are to take is the dominion of the lion, the bear, and the leopard, three of Daniel's four beasts. They are utterly to destroy the fourth, but the political organizations represented by the other three are to be continued in existence, but without sovereignty. While in existence, they are under the dominion of the saints, whose administration will not be superseded by other rulers. The existence of these organizations subjectively to the saints is defined, and consequently, the duration of their holding of the kingdom is thereby defined likewise. In chapter 7, verse 12, it says, "A prolonging in life was given the three beasts, Adzman Wi'idam, during an appointed time and a set time." This, then, is the duration of the Olam, or Alma, of the kingdom. A hidden period containing an appointed time and a set time. The Apocalypse has revealed the number of years contained in these kinds of time, in telling us how long the saints are to reign with Christ after binding the dragon, whose dominion at the appearing of Christ covers the territories of the polities symbolized by the three beasts. They are to reign thenceforth with him during 1,000 years. Apocalypse 20, verse 6. The period consists of a set time and an appointed time. A set time is indicated by Idan, which is equivalent to the Hebrew Moed, the word used in Genesis 17, verse 21, where it is said, "Sarah shall bear unto thee Isaac at this set time in the next year." This is, then, a period of gestation, which consists of 280 days, a day for a year in symbolic time. This, deducted from 1,000, leaves 720 years for the appointed time, or two times of 360 years each. Daniel did not discern what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in him did signify by the Zaman Wa'adam, nor by the Alma of Almas. But not so with ourselves, for the Father has apocalypsed the solution in the 1,000 years. The reader will therefore understand that the prophets, under divine inspiration, predicted the development in a future remote from their day of a period that should continue for a season and a time. They did not know when it should begin, nor what length of time was meant by the formula, and consequently could not tell when it should come to an end. But that such a period should exist and be of a very peculiar character, even most glorious to all the righteous who should be contemporary with it, they were all agreed, as is plainly to be seen in all their writings. "I heard," says Daniel, "but I understood not, for the words were closed up and sealed till the time of the end." For this reason, the period was called Olam, or the hidden, beyond which the prophets and those instructed by them did not often look. They saw it was terminable, and therefore if they spoke of anything not restricted to it, they would say, "Ad olam wa'ad," during the hidden period and beyond. The promises made to Abraham and to David had a special reference to this olam. and the apocalypse shows symbolically how the Olam is to be introduced, and how the promises to those patriarchs are to be performed. Thus, the Spirit said to Abraham in regard to Canaan, "All the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed ad olam, during a hidden period." And again, reminding Israel of the same promise, he says by Jeremiah, "If ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, I will cause you to dwell in the land which I gave to your fathers, Limin olam, ve'ad olam, for from the beginning of the hidden period and during the hidden period," which in the common version is rendered "for ever and ever," as though the Israelites were destined to be flesh and blood occupants of Canaan for eternity. The covenant made with David is styled by him in his last words, "a covenant of Olam." In the common version, this is rendered "an everlasting covenant," but it ought to be termed "a covenant of the hidden period." It was so styled because it was to be established then, and as the subject matter of this covenant is the throne symbolized in Apocalypse 4, and the kingdom taken possession of by the saints in chapter 11 verse 15, and Daniel 7 verse 18, it is styled "a kingdom of Olam," or the kingdom pertaining to the hidden period. The Mosaic period was an Olam, for although the Israelites knew when it began, none of them, not even Jesus, nor the angels, knew when it would come to an end. This is proved by Mark 13, verse 32. When the Mosaic heaven and earth should pass away, that Olam would be ended, as it was AD 72. In this long period of 1,695 years, there were numerous lesser periods, as the Jubilees, or periods of restitution, recurring every 50 years. Hence the Mosaic was an Olam of Olams, one long period containing many lesser ones. But this system of periods did not terminate in itself. It was typical, or representative, of times and seasons belonging to the throne and kingdom of the saints. Thus, in Apocalypse 14 verses 1 to 5, we have the Pentecost in the kingdom. In verses 6 and 7, the trumpet of the Jubilee sounding. And in verses 8 to 11, the great and terrible day of national atonement, ultimating in the conquest of the nations and their subjection to Israel's Elohim for the Olam. Leviticus 25 verses 8 to 17. And 39 to 46. Nor is this confined to the introduction of the Olam of the kingdom. There are periodically recurring Olams during all the 1,000 years, indicated by the observance of the Passover and Feast of Tabernacles to be observed by all nations. Ezekiel 45 verse 21 and Zechariah 14 verses 16 to 19. For this cause, therefore, the 1,000 years is called in Daniel an Olam, even an Olam of Olams, but by no means an eternity. Presuming, then, that the reader comprehends the matter thus far, I proceed to remark that the 70 Israelites who translated the prophets into Greek for the king of Egypt substituted for Olam the word Ion. But although this does not express the same idea as Olam, it was about as good a word as they could select. It was indefinite as Olam, for it neither defined the beginning nor the end of the period it was chosen to represent. Ion is compounded of A and own. The word at A is from at O, at EO, or at AME, signifying primarily to blow, to breathe. Secondly, to live, to pass or spend time. From this derivation, at A would present the idea of a going on, and as a particle of time is expressive of that which is unlimited or undefined, not so much that which cannot be bounded as that which is not bounded, which is not attempted to be defined, but is considered as going on. At A, therefore, alone, would not express the true idea of eternity, but only of time, whose end is not bounded by any specification. This flowing word, indicative of passing time, must be connected with, and as it were, anchored upon, another of more stability, in order to give it any kind of fixedness. This other word is own, the participle of that verb of existence which expresses, in its philosophical sense, the highest mode of being. One part of the compound word, then, is unconfined, the other, since own is of all tenses, altogether excludes the idea of time. I own, then, is not time, long or short, bounded or endless. Time is said to move in a circle, on account of its likeness to an aeon. Hence, an aeon and a cycle or circle are analogous. It is therefore used in the indefinite sense of life, existence, or state of being. Thus, that end which contains the period of each existence is called its aeon. The aeon of man is 70 years and 10, while the aeon of deity is from everlasting to everlasting. It is, therefore, a course of time, a circling around, own being. The circling depending upon the nature of the being circled. Hence, deity being essentially life, the circling of time can never cease in relation to him. But priesthood and man, being essentially terminable, the circling of time around them cannot always continue. The diameters of their aeons may be measured by their continuance. The aeons of the aeons, in the places cited, are the period of the apocalyptic reign, which is a priestly administration after the order of Melchizedek, and therefore, of necessity, not eternal. Aristotle, whose mother tongue was Greek, says that the period of each existence is its aeon. The 1,000 years is therefore the aeon of the Melchizedek reign, containing aeons or cycles within itself, in which Jesus, anointed with the 7 spirits, will have and bear the glory, and exercise the supreme authority in the midst of his associates, over the nations of the earth to its utmost bounds. But in the mythology of the heathen, the heaven of their vain imagination, which they placed somewhere above the atmospheric firmament, and having for its supposed existences the gods of high Olympus, and the ghosts of Elysium, was an aeon, and so entitled. And as its presumed existences were regarded as of infinite duration, this aeon with them was eternity. Hence also, those styling themselves members of the church, whose minds are traditionally imbued with the vain philosophy of the Greeks, believe in the aeon of the heathen, styling it heaven beyond the skies, whose existences, they allege, are the ideas they call God, Jesus, angels, evolved from the souls of infants, ghosts, of departed saints, etc. This they call eternity. The Pago-Greek and Latin, the Catholic, Papal, and Protestant eternity. And as the last three have had the translation of the scriptures under their control, and know nothing of any other aeon than an imaginary superatmospheric eternity, they almost universally render eisteon aiona and its kindred forms by forever, and forever, even forever and ever, and adjectively by eternal. Now, to simplify this matter as much as possible, I have constructed the following diagram, which will perhaps enable the reader to comprehend more easily the explanation we have presented of the scripture Olams and Aeons. I'll interrupt here to describe the diagram. You can view it yourself by following the link to Figure 1 in the podcast episode description. The diagram is entitled The Aeon of Sin and Death, 7,000 Years, and shows a horizontal rectangle labelled ABCD, leading up to, on the right, a circle, which is labelled with the Hebrew Ad. Inside the rectangle are a series of three circles. The first is labelled with the number 1656. Between the first and the second circle, there's the number 377. In the second circle is 430 plus 1695. Then between the second and third circles, 1796. In the third circle, 40 plus 1000. And then between the third circle and the final one labelled Ad is the number 6. I'll return now to the words of Dr. Thomas. In this diagram, the parallelogram ABCD represents a period of 7,000 years, from the creation until the end, when the Son delivers up the kingdom to the Divine Father, and death is abolished. It is the period during which sin and death exist on earth, and contains three aeons and four intervals. The aeons are indicated by circular lines, and the intervals of time elapsing from the end of one aeon to the beginning of a subsequent one by parallel lines. The perpendicular line AC indicates the era of the creation. The parallel lines between it and the first circle represent the time that elapsed to the fall. The first circle represents the antediluvian Olam, or Aeon, and the figures in its diameter indicate that it terminated 1,656 years from the creation by the flood. The second interval, or space between the first and second circles, represents the period from the flood to the typical confirmation of the covenant of the land with Abraham, a duration of 377 years. The second circle has a crescentic prefix on the left. In the crescent are the figures 430, which denote that it represents a period of that number of years from the confirmation of the land covenant to the night on which the 12 tribes left Egypt for the purpose of taking possession of it. The circle itself represents a duration of 1,695 years, which terminated at the burning of the temple by the Romans. This was the Mosaic Aeon, and commenced at the baptism of Israel into Moses in the cloud and in the Red Sea, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. The circle and its prefix enclose the whole period of 430 plus 1,695 equals 2,125 years. It embraced the aiones kai genias, the aeons and generations, and may therefore be termed the Abrahamo-Mosaic Aeon, which, having waxed old, vanished away in blood and fire and vapour of smoke. Hebrews 8 verse 13 and Acts 2 verse 19. The third interval, which lies between the second and third circles of the diagram, indicates the series of years which has already elapsed since the destruction of Jerusalem, and may yet elapse, to the apocalypse of the sons of the deity in power and great glory to restore the kingdom again to Israel, an event which marks the commencement of the regeneration. We have defined this interval by 1,796 years from the destruction of the Holy City in the Vulgar Era 70. By the end of this period, the kingdoms of the world will be about to become the kingdoms of the Lord and of his anointed, and he shall reign during the aeons of the aeons. Revelation 11 verse 15. The same phrase as in chapter 1 verse 6. The end of this long period of 1,796 years will terminate in the Vulgar Era 1864. About this epoch will begin, as we believe, the wonders that are to introduce a thorough and complete revolution of human affairs, the representation of which enters largely into the scenes of the apocalypse. The third circle of the diagram has also a crescentic prefix on the left, only smaller than the preceding. I have made it smaller because it represents a shorter period, only 40 years, styled in the Apocalypse the Hour of Judgment. It is the antitype to the 40 years in the wilderness and the Aeon of the Sickles, Revelation 14 verses 14 to 20, introductory to the third circle, whose diameter is 1,000 years. This is the aeons of the aeons, which are referred to 13 times in the Apocalypse. It may be styled the Abrahamo-Messianic cycle, because in it is fully displayed the covenants with Abraham concerning Messiah, Israel, and the nations. This cycle of aeons is the day of Christ, which Abraham, who walked by faith, rejoiced in foreseeing. It is commonly called the millennium, because of its continuance, mille anni, 1,000 years. To this circle belong to ulon tes zoes, the wood of the life, and the New Jerusalem. The Gospel treats of this aeon because it is the aeon of the kingdom, and styled by Paul the aeon to come, Hebrews 6 verse 5. No one has ever heard the Gospel who is ignorant of the doctrine concerning this aeon, the cycle enclosing the hope of all the faithful of patriarchal and Mosaic times. It ends about the Annus Mundi 6994. The fourth interval of the diagram represents the little season, which intervenes before the termination of the 1,000 years and the end of the 7,000 years of the parallelogram. It is the brief period referred to in Revelation 20 verses 3, 7 and 8, in which the dragon power revives, and as the seed of the old serpent contends once more with the seed of the woman for supreme authority over the earth. How long after the end of Annus Mundi 7000 the contest may continue is not apocalypsed. It will terminate, however, in the suppression of the rebellion and the restoration of Yahweh's sovereignty throughout the earth. It is at this crisis that sin and death, the wages of sin, are finally abolished with every curse. the perpendicular line BD indicates the end of the 7,000 years from the creation. The fourth circle of the diagram represents Ad. This monosyllable signifies beyond and is part of the form of words La'ai Olam Wa'ed, so frequently used in Moses and the Prophets in speaking of Messiah's aeon and beyond. It is the aeon of the new things to be created by the eternal power, when the 7,000 years shall have passed away, Revelation 21, verse 5. Of the duration of this, the Apocalypse says nothing. It may or it may not be boundless, but this we cannot tell. Whatever may be its constitution, of this we are certain, that sin, curse, and death will have no more place in the earth, or the nature of its inhabitants. Its circling will be around incorruptibility and life.